So that was that familiar passage, which I understand is inscribed on the walls of Westminster Abbey in England. I've never been there, but this is what I'm told. That this Matthean version of the Beatitudes, so famous, is there. But I don't know how many of you are aware that there's another version of the Beatitudes. And this is in the Gospel of Luke. The sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I recommend, if you have a Bible at home, or Google it. Google the Beatitudes in Luke. Because Google will produce everything that we all need to survive. But I want to read you the Lucan version of the Beatitudes, which most scholars, when I was teaching this stuff, believe to be the more primitive form. So everybody knows that, like Matthew did all kinds of, well, they all did all kinds of messing around with the words of Jesus, editing them, applying them to two generations or three generations or four generations after it was dead. They all didn't just sit on their thumbs and say, well, that was nice, and then just replicate everything that had happened. No, they thought about it more. They experienced more. They tried to live in the world as Jesus did, which is a hazardous adventure, as we all know. I don't expect to get killed on a cross, but maybe. And it should be a conclusion devoutly to be sought, but I'm too big a coward to seek it very ardently. But here, and listen carefully to see how Luke presents basically the same text. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. For blessed are those who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." And then he goes on just a couple of lines further. "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Okay, I don't know how much of this you're able to pick up of the vast, I think there are vast differences between Matthew and Luke's version. And as I said, most scholars believe, and I think this is still true, that Luke's is closer to the original proclamation of these Beatitudes. But you notice, there are only four. The scholars call them makarisms, because the Greek word for blessed is makarios. But then you have only four makarisms, and then you have four warnings. Four talking about woe. And they're kind of an inversion. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full now. Woe to you who are laughing now. Woe to you when all speak well of you. So, I don't have a sermon so much, a homily so much, as to put a thought question to you. Go home. Google Luke 6. It's very early on in the Gospel of Luke. Check the differences. Let me just point out a couple. Okay. So you have a great mollification, softening of the Beatitudes in Matthew when Luke presents them. Remember, Matthew says, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit." That's not Lucan. It's flat out, "Blessed are you who are poor," full stop. "Blessed are you who are hungry now," not hungry for justice, but hungry because your stomachs are empty, "for you will be filled." And so it goes. And as I said, these woes are totally absent from the Gospel of Matthew. Now we know, as I said, the evangelists play what we would think is fast and loose with the words of Jesus or the ideas of Jesus. But I'll leave it to you and to your own consideration during the week to come. Who sounds more like the authentic Jesus to you? Matthew or Luke? It's a decent question. It's a real question. It's a question I presume all the people who read this stuff early on around the year 85 when it was written, or the year 300 when it was put in the Bible, canonized. They can't have not noticed the discrepancies between the Matthean and the Lucan version of these words of Jesus. So who's editing whom? Matthew's editing Luke, or Luke is editing Matthew? Good question. Why? Because the answer to the question is fraught with significance, I put it to you. What are we really called to, you know, as would-be followers of this man Jesus? Just as a side note, I've been wondering lately, Project, why do you believe anything? It's a good question. I've been asking it for the past 50 years or better. No, longer than that. Why? What do you believe, and why do you believe? For me, at least, the ultimate criterion is I believe in what I think is true. I believe, that is, that this figure, this human being, like us, as the scripture says, in all things. So he was tempted, he cried, he laughed. I suspect even when he was a little kid, he flirted with the girls in Nazareth. I don't know, I wasn't there. But it seems to me it's a normal thing for a young Jewish kid to do. Discreetly, of course, because it was still very much a sexist society, and the women had to be kept barefoot and pregnant, as my wonderful sociology teacher told us in high school. So, where are we in this stuff? I know which is much more palatable. Oh, I hunger and thirst for justice. Well, that's a nice idea. Hungry and thirsting for justice. But it's drastically different than simply being hungry, period, full stop, not having any food. I would love to be poor in spirit. I'm not. I'm not even that. But I find as a much more palatable eventuality than saying, "Blessed are the poor." Those guys? Those dirty, smelly creeps I see on East Dundas Street throwing up their guts in the garbage and the troughs of the street, you know. In any case, even if this is kind of a dry well for you today, I still recommend that you look at these two texts side by side. Matthew 5, Luke 6. So you can find them easily enough. And see what you think sounds like the more authentic voice of this man Jesus, who, as I said, why do I believe? Because I fully believe that Jesus is the manifestation of what God wanted all of us human beings to be. Full stop. The Buddha was a very nice man. Muhammad, I'm sure, was a very nice man. The writers of the Pali texts in Buddhism and the Upanishads and all those great Indian texts, sure, they all illuminate the human condition. But as I said, for myself, and I presume for you in one way or another, that is the radiant figure of this radiant life that is most persuasive, that says more about what it is to be a true human being than anybody else.